Well, people of God, let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verse 36, and meet one of the characters of Christmas, often a forgotten character of Christmas, Anna. Of course, most of us here know who Anna is, but often she's missed in the story because it's 40 days after Christmas, actually, where the Lord Jesus Christ, or should I say Anna, meets the Lord Jesus Christ in the temple. And so we're going to be reading just a few brief verses from Luke chapter 2, verse 36 through 38. This is the word of God. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. This is God's word. When Anna first set eyes upon Jesus, oh, how Israel ached for his coming. The people of Israel were yearning for the return, well, the return of God to Israel, for the Messiah to come once and for all, because it was a time of foreign rule and oppression. It was a time also when the voice of God began to ring out through his servants, the prophets. It appears that God had been silent for a period of time after the days of Malachi. But then he began to speak through the various characters, and we meet them in the story of Christmas, don't we? The prophets of Christmas. Mary, singing her Magnificat, is a prophet of Christmas. Elizabeth as well is a prophet of Christmas. Zechariah is also a prophet of Christmas. And as we very well know, Simeon, filled with the Spirit, yearning for the coming of the Christ. And he was promised by the Spirit that he would see with his own eyes the Christ, the one he had yearned for all his life. And of course, here, we have Anna, a prophetess. She was a beautiful messenger of God in that temple. It had been 40 days since Jesus' birth, and it was essential for his dedication. And so, of course, at that moment, we read here that Simeon begins to prophesy amongst everyone, and of course, probably the entire area was just attracted to that. I wonder if Anna had heard that commotion, because it does appear that she arrives on the scene at that very moment. We're not certain. Luke doesn't tell us. But what we are certain of is this silent messenger of Christmas said something, but it's not recorded. Isn't that interesting that as we come into this story, we're reminded that she is a prophetess. That means she speaks the word of God, and yet we never hear her speak the word of God. It just simply tells us that she was a messenger of God. Amos prophesied about the prophets. He said this in Amos 3:7, "Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets." She was one of God's servants. She is a prophetess. What was she doing? Was she already announcing in the temple courts, in the court of women? Was she telling all the women, the Messiah is coming? This is the day of the Lord. He will arrive. I wonder what the people thought in the court of women. Did she think she was crazy? Because they all knew that she had been there ever since her husband had died. Now, some think she's 84, but if you do the math, as it reads in Greek, it could be that she is anywhere from 105 to 107. But most of our translations go with 84. What we do know is that Luke says she was very old. And she dedicated herself to fasting and prayer, and she never left. It's as if she had a little cubicle. Maybe in the court of women, she had a little place that she could put her cot. Always staying near the door of the temple. Always singing God's praises. Always waiting. Always waiting for this moment. For this moment, this Christmas, this Messiah-mas, where the Messiah would reveal himself to her. Now, prophetesses were very rare, as you know, in the Old Testament. There's Miriam, Deborah, those are the more famous ones. But there's also Hannah, isn't there? You remember Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 2? She prophesied, didn't she? She prophesied, singing God's praises. In fact, she had just dropped off Samuel, her son, to be with Eli in the tabernacle, in the mobile home of God at Shiloh. And it is interesting that there is an intersection between these two women, of Hannah and of Anna. Did you hear it? Of Hannah and of Anna. You see, Anna's name is Hannah. But in the Greek, as you see in the Old Testament, actually Hannah is called Anna in the Greek Old Testament. She has the name of a well-known prophetess. And what was the meaning of her name, Anna? Well, it's grace. It's grace. That name is dear to me because I have a daughter, and her name is Anya. Or should I say Anna or Hannah? Grace. Grace. God's grace. And when she was on that temple mount, maybe she ran out of the court of women. We're not certain. But she was seeing God's grace before her. The Redeemer of Jerusalem, of Israel, had come in the flesh for his people. And her name just happens to be Grace. And she's looking at God's grace. And that's what we do every Christmas, don't we? When we read the stories, when we imagine the scene in Bethlehem, what we are doing is remembering God's grace, his undeserved gift of his Son, where heaven and earth came together in the one person. The Son became flesh and dwelt among us to give his life for us, to die. Mary's son was meant to die, to set us free. Did Hannah understand all of that? Or Anna? Did she understand what that meant when she says the Redeemer of Israel? We're uncertain what she all understood because she didn't say very much. But again, she has an important name of a great figure in the Old Testament. But also, it is interesting that her father's name is mentioned too. For a woman that doesn't say anything in the Bible, there are sure a lot of things you can say about her. Now, his name is Phanuel. Now, you can do that, Peniel. And that simply means the face of God. The face of God. Remember, there was a man named Jacob. You remember Jacob? He had a problem with lying and being a little shrewd. Well, he wrestled with the angel of the Lord, didn't he, in the Jabbok River all night long. He got a hit pointer out of it as well. But the city that was in that area was named Peniel, or Peniel, which means the face of God. And who had Jacob wrestled with? He had wrestled with the angel of the Lord, a theophany of the very presence of God, face to face, and did not die. And here we have Anna, whose father means the face of God is actually dwelling where? She's dwelling in the very place on earth where God's presence is. She's living before the face of God. She stays there night and day, doesn't she? It's no accident that her father's name is mentioned, because that's exactly what she's doing. And brothers and sisters, what we do know in the Christian tradition is we all live before the face of God, don't we? If you are in Christ Jesus, born of the Spirit of God, indwelt by His Spirit, you live before the face of God, because the temple is no longer something way over there in Jerusalem. The tabernacle of the living God, I guess we're all mobile homes, aren't we, is you. And it's me. The face of God is right here, dwelling with me. But she was a woman that wanted to be near God. Her father's name, the face of God. And here we see this daughter of the face of God. And she's also from the tribe of Asher. You remember Leah? Well, Zilpah bore Asher for Leah, but she was so overjoyed, wasn't she? She was made happy. Asher means happy. But this is also very fascinating and very unusual, is that Asher was one of the lost tribes. It was a tribe that seemingly was expunged from history with the 10 tribes. Only a few families still existed from those tribes. And God takes one of the most insignificant tribes of Israel that was lost. But that tribe is not lost, is it? Oh, they have a prophetess, and she speaks. She speaks by the power of the Spirit, because anyone who prophesies the word of God prophesies in the power of the Spirit. That's who's in her. And she speaks not only to the women but to the men. As a humble servant always before the face of God, this woman who is happy because she knows God, happy because God has spared her family line, that they are still known in Israel, that they're not lost. And she in no way is lost, is she? She's at the very heart of God's plan. And if you're at the very heart of God's plan, you're not lost. You're not lost. No, the flame of light, the light of God, the life of God flickers in you. The light of Christ. And that's what makes Anna so interesting. There's so much said about someone who didn't speak. All these interesting details to arrest us, the reader, to really have her in more clear focus. And what's her ministry? What is her ministry, this daughter of Penuel? Well, her ministry is to fast and to pray. You know, we're doers in America, right? We like doing. We like to be busy. We like to have programs. We like to get things done, right? Doers get things done. But what did our 84-year-old, maybe 105, maybe 107, we don't know, friend Anna do? She fasted and she prayed. The world does not see that as powerful, does it? But it's weak. Oh, that's the work of fools. But is it? Where does the power come from? Where does the power of a Christian come from within? Or who does it come from? It comes from God, doesn't it? And if I am going to run this race in pursuit of Christ, who called his disciples from the fishing nets and has called me out to follow him, I need him resonated in me. I need him speaking to me. And prayer is one of those ways in which we have a conversation with God. We come in this intimate communion with God. Yes, we hear his word and then we respond. Is that what we do in corporate worship? We hear his word, and what did we do each time in this service? We responded, didn't we? We heard the word, and we responded, and that's what prayer is. Hearing the voice of God and saying, glory, hallelujah, oh God, pouring out your heart to him. What a ministry. Maybe that's why the church in the West is so utterly ineffective, dying. We're not a people of prayer. We're not praying bold prayers. I mean, Anna is praying to God, "Oh, come, Messiah, come." Oh, I think if she would have heard Jesus' prayer taught, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," Anna says, "Yes, your kingdom come, your will be done." Can you see her weathered face? Praying with her hands to heaven. Oh, no, not down, up. And knowing that the God she prays to is the God who listens. He listened to David. He listened to Asaph. He's listened to his people throughout the ages. And he even listens to an insignificant old woman that has a cot in the temple. He listens to me. Maybe that's one of my greatest problems in my life. I need to pray far more than I do. Is that you this Christmas? Because Christmas, we're about feasting, right? I mean fasting, not fasting, we're feasting. It's Christmas. But yet what we find in this beautiful woman named Anna, she's fasting. Well, in fasting, who is she feasting on? She's feasting on God. On her Redeemer, who now she can see with her own eyes. Her heart flooded with joy. You can feel the sap in this woman. You know that Psalm 92? The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord. Wasn't she planted in the house of the Lord? Her heart was planted in the place of the Lord. They will flourish like the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. I love that text. Fresh and green. A prayerless Christian will never stay fresh and green. You'll just wither and your leaves of your tree will fall off and you will bear absolutely no fruit. Anna doesn't say anything and she bears tons of fruit. It's Christmas. Is he not calling us to pray? Not just to feast, but to pray and to feast upon him. Of course, her time of prayer and fasting, this daughter of prayer is also a daughter of witness. And when the word that became flesh came into the temple, what does she begin to do in her aged body at 84 in the ancient world? 84 was very old. 105 was extremely old. What does she begin to do? She gives thanks, doesn't she? It's like she needs to tell everybody on the temple court, "Hey, he's come, the Redeemer of Jerusalem. He's come, he's come, he's come." I can just see her, you know, walking around, and she's just trying to tell everybody, "He's come. It's the baby boy over there. You see his mother and his father. You heard Simeon, didn't you? He was prophesying about him. A light to the Gentiles even." That's Anna. So delighted for seeing the Messiah, this wondrous vision of Jesus, of God become flesh, excites her to speak. And all we know is that she talked about the redemption of Israel. Oh, what is that? And if you have your Bibles open, you will see that good old Simeon, also an old man in the temple court, who witnessed Jesus on the very same day, both Anna and him witnessed the Messiah. Well, it said about him that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The comfort, that's what that means, the comfort of Israel. And if you go to Isaiah 40, what does the prophet say? "Comfort, comfort my people." But where will comfort come? Well, it will come through the Messiah. It will come from the suffering servant of Isaiah, from Isaiah 40 to verse Isaiah 66. And here he is, the beautiful baby boy. He's only 40 days old. Who else was waiting for the consolation of Israel? You know of a guy named Joseph, Arimathea, who buried Jesus in his tomb, he too was waiting for the consolation of Israel, for the kingdom of God to be revealed. We also know those two men, one was Cleopas, and the other's name we do not know, that were walking on the way to Emmaus. They met Jesus along the way. They too were hoping that Jesus would redeem Israel, that he would be the consolation of Israel, that he would free them from Roman occupation and oppression. Of course, they didn't realize that they were talking to Jesus himself as they went on the road to Emmaus. All that time, until he did what? Until he broke the bread and they saw who he was. Anna saw the story unfold before her, yet she did not know the whole story like you and I do. And yet her heart gave thanks. If someone were to measure our lives, my life, your life, would we be known for giving thanks for God sending his son into the world to die for a man like me and women and men like you? Is that what we're known for? That's what I remember about Hannah. She's known for her thanksgiving about seeing Jesus. And you, brother and sister, have seen more than just seen Jesus, haven't you? You've been born of his spirit, washed in his blood. You have his life in you. And so what ought we to be known for? Thanksgiving. It's Christmas. It's joy. Because he's not just a baby. He's a crucified, resurrected, reigning, and he will return one day, King. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you for the reign of Christ in our life. We are ashamed at our timidity at times to be more thankful for the wondrous gift of your Son, and not to just to leave it to ourselves, but to share it, to speak it, so that others would know this good news about Jesus. As Anna shared in the temple courts and undoubtedly with the women, but also probably even the Gentile courts, may we be known for giving thanks for Jesus, for his coming. We pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.